Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 528 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay. And I'm Glenn.
Yes, it's the two of us. It's old school. We're taking it back to 2015.
How good.
The two-man show again.
As quality as that impersonation was, he's not actually here.
No, he's a... and look, you know, like, in true, you know, like, you know, transparent fashion... Well, just transparency is what we're all about. He couldn't get his computer turned on. Couldn't get his laptop to boot up. I mean...
Yeah.
Penrith people, I thought they were experts at booting the sluts, but apparently not.
Not the iSluts.
No, that was 2020. Not in the year of our Lord 2023.
Not the Mac apparently sluts. Forgot.
Yeah, apparently their number one fucking Apple technician was sent to the south of France to join the genius bar at Catalan, and unfortunately, the accumulated knowledge of booting sluts is no longer within that fan base, so it's just us. But it means it gives you more time, unfettered. And I know what's coming already because you texted me probably fucking at full time as soon as you could get your phone into your fucking hand.
Jeez,
on Saturday.
Jeez, out of quality time on the hill, Nathan, after the game.
Give us the update from the C-grade touch competition. Oh, I am told, I heard it from the fucking, the Bush Telegraph told me that, aka SMS
phone.
From you, yeah, told me probably within 15 minutes of full time, I'd imagine, that Big D's probably had had a fucking world. He probably his career game. Would I be correct?
Look, I don't know about a career game, but played some big minutes. My goal is to get a little bit better each week, and I feel like I did that. First things first, the Big Diesel's run over for a double.
Yeah, talk us through.
Look, one of them was a catch and fall merchant, but yep. The second one... there was a lot going on. It was all happening at speed, and I've grabbed the ball and got on the outside of the winger and put the ball down. The opposing winger is a Hall of Fame A-grade level flog who was jawing off and made a couple of comments and fucking was having a little laugh about possibly trying to run some plays around me earlier. And by the end of the game, the Big Diesel's run two in around him, and he's run a fucking big fat zero around me. So
that's the question I was going to ask, what the plus minus was.
Yeah.
So it's 2-0 for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Big D's the legend grows.
Did anyone say anything about Big D's? Look, of course, there was also a couple run in by the other member of the Big Wingers Club in C grade, Tash Walshy, who is, look, there's no other way to say it. He's a big unit. He's fucking tall.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of girth. And, yeah. We are
the physique that's unideal for the sport of touch football.
Or the wing, yes, in any position really, but definitely much like myself, I'm just a shorter option. But he's put a couple over as well, which is fucking delightful. Also, tries are great and all, but also did a full length of the field fucking chase and stopped a try with. Didn't actually make the touch, but I made old mate deviate his run to a degree where one of the other boys dived and touched him.
There you go.
I was quite proud of that effort. Quite proud of that effort. And we got away with a win, 11-5, and now top of the table.
11-5 seems like a fucking big scoreline.
Yeah, we
defense optional.
Oh, we fucking pumped them in the second half. So, Yeah, they started getting a little bit tired and get a little bit yappy. And just, yeah. I must admit, we come off the field and everyone's like, yeah, good game, boys. That was excellent. And whether we win or lose, that's generally, you know, oh, we ran out of legs. But, yeah, good effort, boys. And everyone's high-fiving no matter what the result. You look over to the other boys and they're just fucking feeding it to one another. I love it.
Oh, they're bickering amongst themselves.
Yeah, pissing. They really thought they had
something. They were going to get the win.
Yeah.
On that day.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, you know, because it's filling a little void in their lives and it's part of my little plan for my health and fitness regime, and it's doing quite well.
And then when you get the margin of the game essentially is the combined output of Big Diesel and the Fat Controller.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for a team that think they're, like, you know, better than they are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they
I mean, that's like got to be the goal, right?
Just you know, it's always good for a yappy cunt to get put in his place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Quality.
And yeah, and the one thing that, you know, Big Diesel and the Fat Controller are great at, feeding. That's their specialty.
And you fed it to
these cunts on the weekend. Yes. Tremendous. So how was training? Jubilant. The boys are up now, right?
Oh, well, training's Wednesday. So
okay, what are you doing? What's on Monday night?
Basketball training.
Basketball training. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So the finals push is gaining momentum, and you know what that means?
It means you make
the final, and the 30-for-30 comes out. That's all I'm saying. I will fucking memorialize this shit for all time. I will have it mixed by an Oscar-winning, Emmy Award-winning, elite Hollywood.
Wow. Could you imagine the quality?
Mixed on Epstein Island Studios.
It's Hayward Island. It's where there's daffodils and dandelions and people skip through and tiptoe through the tulips and are so friendly to one another.
Right. But yeah, look, I am absolutely praying for the final because I want this to happen. I want to be up there.
Unfortunately, other than Bradley, I haven't really filled anyone in on the Big Diesel situation.
They'll find out.
Yes.
They will find out on the day.
Also, yesterday in the morning, I was up and about, had to do a couple of trailer loads of scrap steel from the yard to work and did a bit of tidy up because we've got some more earthworks happening shortly. And I've come through the kitchen, just walking my wife, put a bit of a left foot swerve on. I said, hey, you just got stepped by the Big Diesel. And she said, she looked me straight in the eye and said,
I've never been drier.
No. What she actually said was, and it's probably the same thing, I'm pretty sure you tripped. And just kept going about her business. Not one fucking fuck was given.
Yeah. Well, you know. She's got to keep the Big Diesel on tracks.
Oh, hasn't this, she?
Because, you know, when a Big Diesel gets, you know, when it gets too far ahead of itself and it starts leaving the tracks, that's when, you know.
it's bad news.
That's when you get shit like Granville happening.
Granville.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's not go there. Right. Hey, we can get straight into these games now.
Do you know my dad had a takeaway shop at Granville?
Really?
And it really should have been called the Big Diesel, but it was called Bullfrog's Takeaway.
Yeah, well, I know, and I imagine those days were probably done and dusted by the time the train mischief occurred, right?
Well, yeah, well, the train line was being upgraded, and there was a grand total of 22 different takeaway shops on the main street of Granville,
right?
And my dad was the only one of Australian descent. Put it that way.
Right. Yep.
And he made the fucking best burgers and had the best meat pies.
And I was just going to say, like, so what was the name again?
Train rail workers. It was called Granville Takeaway, but he basically nicknamed it Bullfrog's Takeaway.
Yeah. And I was going to then say the specialty was the burger, was it?
Well, he just made everything was fresh, yeah. And he made it big, yeah, and solid, and yeah, you know,
yep.
He's, yeah. And obviously, he was a bit of a fucking larrikin and cracking jokes and larger than life sort of personality. So, the fucking railway workers would just line up out the front for whether it was breakfast time or come back for lunch or whatever.
Yeah,
fucking man made a killing. And should have sold it at the peak of that time, and he had an offer and he wanted to hold out. It's just my dad was a hard worker but not a great businessman. And he could have got about 4 to 5 times on his investment at the peak.
Yeah.
And then the rail work dried up and he didn't get any more offers and ended up selling it for a fucking pittance. So terrible story.
Yep.
Oh. Hard workers don't necessarily make great business people.
Oh no, fucking Lord knows I know that. All right. Now, round 22. Let's get into it. The Broncos. That was on Thursday, was it? Fuck me, okay. Broncos 32 to feed the Roosters 10 at the Gabba. The Broncos 32 came through a double to Ezra Mam. Farnworth, Carrigan, Stags with tries. Reynolds 5 conversions and a penalty goal. The Roosters tries to Smith and Tupou. And one conversion to Sandon Smith.
Record-breaking try to Tupou.
Yes. And he stuck up on that, but, I mean, fuck me, he's been at it for a long time. Mm. But, of course, the try, the real celebrated try of this one, of course, was Paddy Carrigan getting off his duck some, absolutely, what, 70-odd games into his first grade career.
Exactly. It was great to, you know, good sign of where they're at as a club and the regard in which Carrigan's held within the team, how they all got around him, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the Gabba as a venue?
I've only been there. I've went once to watch the Lions years and years ago, like fucking years and years ago. And you know,
been shitting on AFL as long as I've known you. I couldn't imagine you going to the AFL.
Yeah. It was just like I remember it was like a mate had a mate's uncle or something had season tickets and he couldn't go, and so my mate was like, you know, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, right. And then I've been to, like, you know, some 2020, I think, there, and like, and it's fine. I like it enough for footy though, for rectangular stuff. This is a problem that the SCG has as well, you know, when they have games. It is fucking weird, but I imagine it's weirder for the players than it is for us as spectators, because the spectators, you know, we're still going to, if we're watching on television, they're still going to have their camera set up much the same as they would, so it doesn't really affect us that much. But for players, and that you do see times when the players kind of misjudge things and think they've got more room or less room than they really, you know, really do. And so, look, I'm not a massive fan of it, but...
Is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you know, the Broncos rolled in this game. I mean, they're certainly not going to take that slide that they did at the end of last season.
Just a class above a team like the Roosters. And that's what gets me about the media. They're still trying to shoehorn the Roosters into the top tier sides in the competition. And
yeah, and I mean, they're definitely the top tier sides. But yeah, it's just like, I'm just wondering, are they like as bad as they seem to be though? Because I mean, like, they were pretty, like, they were the better team against Manly, and like Daly sort of kicked them to death and managed to, you know, keep Manly in it. And then they fucking destroyed the Titans last week, who then we'll see this week as, you know, demonstrated some good form.
Exactly.
So it's just hard. It's hard to know if they're. Maybe it's just the you know, the inconsistency that's the problem, and they can put it on in spurts, but in this game they were never in it.
At any point. This game highlighted just how far off a team like the Broncos, the Roosters are. They competed as best they could, but they were just outclassed. And I thought, you know, Reynolds' kicking game. Walsh, just he's having one of those years where every time he touches the ball, you know, it's panic stations for the opposition. And you know, Haas, Carrigan. You know, I still truly believe Walters is the weakest link in that team, but I will admit he has improved to a great degree from his time at the Tigers, which is testament to him. But I
thought when you said Walters, I thought you meant Kevin.
No, Billy.
He's a fucking NPC anyway. I mean, we know that Reynolds is coaching that side.
Yeah, exactly.
And look, let's you know, when we talk about, you know, who's the next generation of coaches coming through, Adam Reynolds is going to be a fucking fine coach.
Yeah, I feel like he will be.
Based on the evidence of what we're seeing at the Broncos at the moment.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are destined to go deep into the finals. And as long as Walsh is playing the way he is and Reynolds has the control on what how where they're positioned on the field and their possession, and if he has a tight handle on those reins, and then you sort of let Walsh come in and out and pick his moments, and it's pretty fucking dangerous when they get it right, no matter who they're playing.
They're very much a momentum side, and I just want, like, they're not going to get that much. That's something that is going to be in shorter supply just due to the nature of finals football. And so I wonder if that's going to be ultimately their undoing, because they might not get those opportunities where they get to build that role on, because teams can reset and, you know, just the nature of finals, more defensively sort of oriented games. I still think they'll get, you know, they'll get down to like the final four, I think. But
they should.
Then it becomes a matter of who they're actually playing against.
Yeah.
Look who's Peter turned on. He just
here
popped
he
up.
Is.
The, just popped up on the call.
The help desk. Back. The help desk helped.
Is that right?
They did their job.
I was saying earlier that the experts in booting the sluts have been sent to the fucking genius bar in the south of France. So you're going to be shit out of luck. But looks like you got the
no. This is rebooting. They're good at the initial booting.
Right. So, anyway, we're done through the Broncos game. We may as well move on to the next one. Fuck. This one, of course, we did do a member side.
I'm going to have to listen to get the fucking C-grade update.
Oh, it was a fucking great one, too. You know, because you got the text as well. But like,
yeah, I know.
It was great.
I didn't get the fucking... The carnival of it all.
It was glory. It was glorious. So, yeah, you can listen.
Nice.
Second game, the pub slot game on Friday from Tamworth, was the South Sydney Rabbitohs 32 defeated the Tigers 18. The Rabbits there, 32, came through a hat trick to Alex Johnson. Isaiah Tass, Keon Kalamatangi, and Cameron Murray with tries. Latrell, 4 of 6 conversions. The Tigers 18 came to tries to Appy, Papali'i, and Pole. Although, well, do you like Icy Pole or Stripper? What do you call him, Glennie?
Stripper.
Stripper. And conversions, 2 for Appy, 1 for Brooksy. We did the second half as a member side, so if you're partaking of the Patreon, you can listen to that one. That's up there. But Glennie, what did you make of this one?
Look, I think the Tigers were competitive for the most part, but when the big moments came along, they require class touches, and the Tigers don't have the necessary class that the better teams have, and that's all she wrote.
Disappointing thing about this game is that they weren't in it at all, but they actually fucking, that first half of the second half, they clawed their way back in, and this was the game. They got within two.
Yeah.
And almost instantly, the moment they got within two, then the Rabbits sort of went into that lockdown sort of style that we've seen, you know, the Storm over recent history, where they just lock it down. And from that point, when they got that close, they just never had a sniff at doing anything ever again in the game. And it just seemed like it was dropout after dropout and, you know, out from their own end the whole time.
I think
go, Glennie, finish off.
Just on Mitchell, I thought it was a solid hit out for him. You know, it's obvious he's not in fantastic shape. I don't know that I'd back him to, you know, for that to be a huge hindrance on how he impacts the bigger games, but it may impact just how heavily he comes, you know, he can come in and out of games. And if he's not in great shape, He may be more out than in, if you know what I mean. But he's, I still feel like he's going to have his moments. And Jay, you mentioned during the membersode that he's clearly well out of shape and well short of a run, and still was running, beating people, running over the top, palming people off. Like, it's just, it's fucking, well, just a phenomenal player.
There was that play where the Tigers had had a good set and they were in attacking range, and they've put a grubber through, and Latrell's taken the grubber like deep in the in-goal area. It's not like he picked it up on the try line. He was deep in the fucking in-goal area.
Well, behind the posts, yeah.
Yeah. And then just like absolutely burned whoever was chasing through on the outside. Just went from a standing start to close to full pace. And then had three Tigers players on him and sort of one by one threw them off him and ended up the first tackle was made on the 20. So that sort of turnaround from, look, here is what really should have been a repeat set. And the Tigers weren't lazy in defense. But, yeah, the back from injury, out of game shape, Latrell, just fucking dominant. But,
and the thing is, he's got like 2 months before it really counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll get back into shape, no problem. I mean, provided Souths can, you know, find a way to make it into the finals, I mean, he's going to be, you know, he'll be fine.
The thing with it, I'm not sure that this was that the Tigers got themselves back in it, that Souths invited them at every fucking opportunity they had. Like we brought it up at the beginning of the second half. Just the first half, South Sydney completed at 69%. And the only reason they weren't getting completely analed is that the Tigers completed the first half at 62%.
Yeah.
So, in anyone else, and Souths are in fucking trouble in that game.
Yeah, they were well ahead, though. That, you know, with those percentages in play, they were like
ahead by
20-4 or something. Yeah. Like, they were well ahead. But yeah, all right. Moving on to the Melbourne Storm, 46, defeating the Eels, 16. And the Storm, double to Harry Grant. Jerome Hughes, Katoa, King, Seve, Munster, Warbrick with tries, Meany, 7 of 8 conversions. The Eels, 16, tries to Russell, Hopgood and Moretti with 2 conversions to Mitchell Moses.
Much like the Roosters, I think plenty are expecting the Eels to, you know, to be a lot better than what they really are.
There's kind of more evidence, I think, in favour of the Eels, but fuck me. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone would have seen that coming.
No.
Like, there were people who would have tipped the Storm. I mean, I'm sure we did tip the Storm when we were talking about it, but, like, you know, the fact they had a legitimate shot at putting a 50-burger on them in this game.
Yeah, I still feel like everyone's just waiting for the Eels to make this run into the finals, and in my opinion, they're looking more likely to miss the 8 altogether than they are to go on a run and over the next couple
of weeks. They're one of the teams on the fucking rack at the moment, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a couple of them. I mean, we'll do a ladder predictor on Wednesday, I suppose. But there's a good 3 or 4 teams that are contenders to drop the fuck out.
Yep.
Exactly.
On recent form, you know?
I think we all expected the Storm to bounce back from what was a pretty ordinary performance a week prior. And it'll be interesting to see if last week's game and then the bounce back factor from here is the catalyst for them to settle into their best footy over the next month or so and you know, mount their finals campaign off the back of that. It's not quite like flicking a switch for them anymore. I think there's a bit more building into it. You know, Munster's a different personality. Then you know the Cronks and the Smiths and the Slaters. You know, he's a big game player, and come finals time, you expect him to fire. But I just think the Storm, the next couple of weeks are going to be crucial for them as to how deep they go into the finals.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're certainly looking like they're doing that Storm thing where they're tapering. At the right time of the season. And the thing is about that game last week against the Knights is it really was just like these simple sort of, it was like just effort areas that cost them dearly. And they would have got you know, absolutely fucking roasted for that shit. And they responded in the best way possible. And the result was they just played so much faster and more effort than the Eels did. And that was despite the fact that the Eels had a far better start to the game when they scored the first try and they were all over them in yep. in the early stages. They were looking at going up by, you know, two tries. But fuck, once the Storm got control, that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And just and a special mention to Clint Gutherson. Was there a charity thing going on there? Is he looking like fucking Voldemort?
No.
I mean, there are people, and look, you know, I don't want to blow smoke up anyone's fucking asshole here, but there are people, Glennie, who fucking you couldn't imagine them any other way except than having like a shaved head. Mm. Couldn't imagine it. It yes. would look fucking weird if they yep. didn't. And then you got then the flip
so
side.
So
you
probably people... cancel the dolls hair plugs.
Yeah, I would.
Man, have you booked?
Thanks,
did... Go to Turkey.
Save your cash, mate.
Go to fucking Turkey. All the fucking cunts are doing it now.
Yeah, thanks anyway. I'm good.
What?
If I could go to Turkey and get plugs that would make me have a beard like yours. Like, I can grow a nice beard. Don't get me wrong. It's grey as fuck now. It's so disappointing. But I couldn't get
just
dolls
for men
hair plugs
from the supermarket.
Head.
No, it's your
I'm
hair.
I'm not going to comb it through.
It's your hair. They take the hair follicles, like, from the base of your neck and transplant them to your fucking scalp.
I was wondering why your head hair looked fucking fuller lately. So that's the secret,
man. Like
Turkish hair,
it's the fucking big thing now. Like there are pages and pages on Instagram of dudes like they're sitting up the back of a plane.
Yeah,
the algorithm isn't serving me those ones. So.
Well, it's like you know, a flight from Turkey to the UK, and all of the guys, like it's just rows and rows of bald dudes with bandages on the back of their head. It's fucking great.
Fucking there you go. Well, that's my thing for the episode that I've learned anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next game. The Knights 28 defeat the Raiders 6 in Canberra. The Knights 28 came through tries to Ponga, Marzu, Young and Gamble. Four conversions to Ponga, two penalty goals to Ponga from as many attempts. The Raiders 6 came through a try to Jordan Rapana, conversion to Teary Eyes, and that's that.
We make a big deal about Canberra or having to play Canberra in Canberra during winter.
It's not a thing anymore.
It's only a thing if the Raiders show up. They fucking were nothing in this game.
I think their record is like this year particularly is pretty poor as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I know Manly smashed them down there, and I mean this is a big win to the Knights down there as well. I think they've got a losing record there this year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah, Best and Ponga and Hastings just absolutely fucking killed them, cut them to shreds. Well, and Tyson Gamble as well.
He's got to be like the epitome of a fucking effort player. Mm. But it's talking about his effort areas that beat the Storm last week. Well, you know, with the Knights beating him, they did that and more this week. And there was that situation there. I can't remember. Like the ball came out at some stage out of the Knights and went backwards, and there were like fucking three Raiders sort of standing like around there, and like Tyson Gamble sort of sprinted and dove like he was a fucking one of those surf life-saving things. And he got it, and while they were just fucking standing there watching it happen. Mm. And it's just like that level of effort that they were displaying was, I mean, that's what they've got to do. I mean, and that's like, I don't know if they can replicate that level, like, you know, for a season or whatever. But if that's the basis from which that they're sort of building their side, with Ponga, you know, chiming in and actually becoming worth the money that they're paying him as well, which he probably has been the last, you know, at least 2 weeks, you know, maybe you know, if you're generous, as many as the last sort of four. I mean, it's a good basis for them to you know, build if they can get some, you know, better players in sort of key positions. But
man, talk about building. Like, they're building some nice fucking momentum into the finals. Like, that's four in a row now.
Yep.
And they've taken, you know, at least the scalp of Melbourne.
Yep.
And Canberra are another top eight side.
Yep.
Like, and they have, like, it's not a dream run, but they don't have the hardest run home, hey?
They got a winnable draw, yeah.
Like, they play the Dragons, they play the Sharks. We all know how they go against top eight sides.
It's just a matter of whether the Knights can get themselves into the eight before that game to secure the, to guarantee the victory.
You know, they play the Bunnies, which is tough. They play the Dogs.
Yeah. There's the thing about their games that they have coming up is it's just there's a lot of like, fuck, they got a good chance of winning that game, but there's also some like variables in there. Like they were kickstarted by flogging the Dogs. That 66-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's it.
And the Dogs, like, you know, seem to be, you know, displaying a little bit more resistance over, you know, particularly this weekend. We'll get to the game, but
man, honestly, the Bunnies are the only scary opposition they have coming home.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's up to them. It's up to them to maintain their level because I mean, if they play the way that you would say that they played if you took the entire season into account.
Yep.
All of those games are fucking who knows,
and
you know, and they could win, you know, all bar the Rabbits one, or they could drop another two of them, you know, but it's all coming up for them though in terms of draw and everything. I mean, it's at the point where they can, given the way that some of the teams, like you said, like the Rabbits, like the Raiders, like the Sharks, particularly like the Eels. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's in their hands.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean they can definitely make the finals.
I think it'll be hard for the Raiders to drop out, and we'll ladder predict this on Wednesday. But
yeah,
it'll be very hard for the Raiders to drop out. But again, I don't see Newcastle missing out either. So.
Yeah, without going into the draw, we won't look at that until later on. But like the Raiders, I know they've got a couple of tough games that they're going to lose going up. Like they're going to lose to they got the Storm and the Broncos, and yeah, they got a couple of losses coming their way, and they got the Sharks as well, which who knows how serious the Sharks are. So I mean, the Raiders could, you know, maybe not lose out, but you know, they could certainly lose their games from this point on and miss out. But yeah, I'm not gonna declare them safe just yet. You got anything to say about that one, Glennie?
No, that's it. I think the Knights are, as you say, building nicely. I think Best since Origin has grown an extra leg, and he's looking amazing at the minute. So if they make the eight, I don't see him winning the comp by any stretch, but be a fair effort if they squeeze into the eight.
Yeah, I mean they have a style at the moment where there's a little bit of brilliance coming in from Ponga. But other than that, it's really just this, you know, high completion, high energy sort of effort sort of thing. And that's another style that, you know, while it can give you a decent baseline throughout the season, I think in the finals, everyone's kind of operating on that base level. And then you're getting to like the more cream of the crop sort of coming to the fore. Moving along, the Mighty Manly Sea Eagles, 24. Defeat the St. George Illawarra Dragons, 18, defeating a 20-year hoodoo, which is fucking crazy. I mean, obviously you don't play teams at that ground when they've got split home grounds like the Dragons do. You don't play in there every year, but there's probably 8 or 9 games there. And surely, I mean, we're talking 20 years, so I mean, surely some of those games were played like in fucking like peak 2007 to 2013 fucking, you know, Uber squad, you know, sort of years as well. So it's remarkable that it lasted that long. Of course, it's Daly's 300th game and Croker's 100th game. And Dragons actually fucking played really well, particularly in the first half. I think they ended up with something like 60-61% possession, but they completed in the first half, they completed extraordinarily well. And I think they completed like their first at least 13 sets. Which, and what that did, it was great. I mean, it meant that Manly had to actually earn the fucking points they got and earn the field position, and they had to weather a lot of fucking bullshit and weather a lot of possession and you know, poor field position, which they did. And you know, when they had their opportunities, they didn't have too many, but when they did, you know, they took them to get the halftime lead, and then they, you know, went bang bang after the break as well with some great long range tries to put it out of reach of the Dragons. it was good to see Jason Saab, like, he's starting to really, you know, he came back, had that ACL last year, came back sort of, you know, probably, what, half a dozen rounds into the season this year. It's good to see him now, like, actually, he's really starting to back himself with his speed as well. And there were times there where he didn't really have a lot of space to, and room to move with, but he just sort of summed up the room he had and who he was up against in defence and thought, yeah, I can fucking either burn him or, you know, sort of kick through his tackle. And he did. And so, and it was great, set up a great try, scored a great one himself. The negative is fucking Woodsy. My God, this fucking guy. That's 2 weeks in a row now that he's been hooked probably sub 15 minutes into his only stint in the game. You got to see, fucking come on. I mean, you don't have to play the guy. I mean, if you're going to fucking give it, if you're going to hook him that, you know, that early, and it is hook, it's not like there's no way he's planned to do 15, 14 minutes. Like, he's been hooked because that's the time when they lose momentum and the other team has their opportunity to come back into the game. Flip side of that, fucking a grand a week, the best money ever spent on fucking Lodge. I mean, that guy, out of the first, like, fucking 8 hit-ups in the game, he probably took 4 of them. Like, the fucking... He's obviously trying, you know, when you're only getting a grand a week, I mean, obviously you're trying to earn your next contract somewhere, whether it's here or elsewhere.
He's also trying to put forth the same effort where someone can say to him, tonight is the night you die.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. This is a guy, when you're going into a place where you haven't won for 20 years, I mean, you need to get yourself a specialist at someone who's specialist invading someone's home and terrorizing them. And he fucking did that. Like, I mean, ticked on every fucking, on every single level. Daly was great as well in the game. Garrick, look, probably needs to work on his passing, and not just the passes he throws, but when he throws them. I mean, there was a try there where, I don't know if he was trying to serve it up to Croker to score in his milestone game, or he truly didn't think he was going to get to the line, but there was a dead set bomb try. He would have scored it himself, I think, because the tackler had fallen off and he wouldn't have been a double movement or anything. But other than that, pretty happy all around with the performance. Dragons have got the, and Jack DeBellin was fucking simbined as well. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, he was obviously fucking stunned, you know, consequences having, you know, actions having consequences for the first time in his fucking life. But yeah, it looks like he's put fucking Tua Pilotu out for the season as well with that hip drop, because he's done at least an MCL, I think, from that injury. So I guess we'll see if we can come back and see the report on how long that is. But old Jackie boy's going to the judiciary and he's going to fight it. He's looking at 3 weeks, 4 if he fails. And so he's actually going to fight it. So we may actually see the NRL judiciary, much maligned NRL judiciary, perhaps we might see more justice out of them than we do out of the actual fucking criminal justice system in the state of New South Wales.
For our large Dragons listeners cohort, can you please put their minds at ease about the disallowed try, in which it sounded like Casey Badger, as has happened a couple of times, said a bunch of things and then acted differently with the try or no try button. Can you please just talk them through how the events were?
It's really hard to, like, comment on this without sounding like a He-Man woman hater. But,
well, no,
have you ever tried to ask your wife what she wants to have for dinner, Glennie? And they say things, and then they, or, you know, or if you're out for dinner and you're like, you know, I'm going to get this. What do you want? I'm going to get that. Okay, cool. And then you get this here. Oh, I should have got that. Can I, you know, some of that. This is what, like,
it doesn't,
the bunker talking
have
through.
To do her fucking, like, you know, her flaps aren't cutting off the oxygen to her fucking mouth or anything.
Well, no, but, I've never said anything as fucking crass as that.
So
Jesus.
She is the person in the bunker. She spoke through things. Look, let me start off here.
And look, firstly, I want to say I love it that we get to hear the bunker, and the process by which they're sort of thinking through their, you know, what the rationale for the decision they make. But it's weird when they say words that don't match up with what they're looking at, and then they make a decision based on what they're looking at, but it doesn't match up with what their words were. And what the end result of that is mass confusion and a platform for the fans of the side where the didn't go their way
a bunch of Dragons fans I've seen have latched onto this thing that the referee asked them to check one specific part of the play. As in, I think it was like, I'm sure he was over the line. Can you please check to see if the ball was grounded?
Yeah, which is what they do every time that it's an unsighted.
But what you got to remember is that doesn't mean that all she's checking is exactly what the referee asked her.
No.
She will check the entire play, regardless of what the referee says, and if what the referee said is wrong, they will rule accordingly. It's not that they have to ignore everything else, even if it's a vision of the contrary.
Yeah, and the thing is, ignoring everything that she said, everything she did, it was set up as no try. There was no footage that showed the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
And so, as it has been for fucking years, it couldn't be overturned. But because of the way that she spoke through her thought process, she was interjecting all this other stuff that wasn't going to be material to the decision that she could make under the rules anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Which gave the Dragons fans watching on, at the ground as well, I guess, because they do have it piped out in the stadium. But, it gave them hope that it was going to be allowed, and it wasn't, and they cracked the shits, and then the old mate, the interim coach over there, had a massive fucking sook about it in the press conference, as well as sooking about the fucking JDB thing. And I'm sure that, and Dragons fans on social media, including the Facebook group for Twill Nation, having a massive sook because they take cues from the people that, have the sooks. And look, I get it. But listen, it wasn't a try. He didn't get the ball down. Matthew Ridge wasn't tackled. Get over it, you fucking sooks. And final congratulations to the fucking the Sea Eagles club. The fucking media that they put out all last week for Froggy and for Daly's fucking milestone, just like fucking trip, the video packages, the jersey presentation videos. Players, feel free to boycott like the Fox Sports and the Post. Boycott that shit forever, because honestly, the interviews they did before stuff, the jersey prezo stuff, it's all far far longer and more expansive than the media will ever give you in a fucking 30-second soundbite, before, after, or during a game. And it's just like the signing of the year, fucking young Alfred fucking does the videos at the club, fucking tremendous. Now moving on to the next game. The Panthers, 28. Defeat the Sharks, 0. At Penrith, Panthers tries to Luai Yo To'o, Taruva Martin, and 4 conversions from 5 attempts to Nathan Cleary. And Sharks, absolutely fucking nothing. Disappointing how in this day and age, the side can't score more than 28 points against the Sharks. But honestly, they are fucking done. Line through them. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. They are done, fucking done. Done.
It's fucking dire over there, isn't it?
That's it. They're done. And you know what? And no one's sad. No one cares.
Is it a come down? Terrible Tuesdays? What is it when you've been on drugs and all of a sudden there are no more drugs?
Overdose. I think it's no more drugs because they died of too much drugs.
A Johnny
Matter.
That's
why there's no more. Sort of matter side.
and the sad thing about it is, they started the season with so much potential, and they finished last season with so much to build on. They were one of the true surprise packages.
Yeah.
Last season, I think it was only the existence of the Cowboys and what they achieved.
Yeah, and the fact the Cowboys probably bundled them out too.
But the Sharks, fucking, they lived well above their station last season. And it just doesn't seem like they've built on that. Like last season, they won their games with just energy and athletic ability. And in situations where that's not gelling and you have to go back to basics, they don't have anything else to rely on.
Yeah, and look, they've had some injuries, but not nearly as many as other sides. I mean, they had Tig Wilton is probably a crucial one, particularly because the edge on which he resides is the one that's absolutely been fucking raped 2 weeks in a row now.
Yep.
So look, it's a part of it, but the Trindle thing was supposed to fix that side somewhat as well.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. That's 2 weeks in a row, and they got an absolute pasting that saw Matty Moylan drop. But in the 2 weeks following, I mean, they've conceded almost 60 points.
Yep.
With a majority of it happening down that trouble side.
And it does seem to be as well that they don't have that forward stock that allows them to play that Cronulla Sharks style of football.
Yeah, you kind of look at it on paper though, and you go, "Yeah, they do." Players just aren't fucking. They're just not delivering.
That's it.
I mean, I still maintain that Wade Graham's still gone. Like, you know, maybe at this stage, 2 years too long.
Yep.
I mean, he's been better this year than last year, but
right. He was playing hurt most of last year. He has to be.
Shout out to Cam McInnes though.
Final
total settled on 81 tackles.
Why a shout out though? You know what the headline should have been? Like we have well established our opinion of the fucking shit clickbait media. The headline should have read, "Dog shit team does a metric fuck ton of defense."
I would have.
That's
put,
what the headline should
player
have said.
Looks and to honestly, have made and honestly, 81, given the, given, 81 tackles with his face.
And given, he looked like he made at least 35 with his face for sure out of that 81. Like it was a regular games tackles, like 50, like a strong effort, and then he made a lot with his face. But that's like, I mean, if you want to look for silver linings in that game for the Sharks, it's probably that they did so much defense or they had so much possession against them.
Yeah.
In good field position, the 28 points was probably unders.
Yep.
On what they should have conceded. And so but the fact that obviously they allowed the possession to blow out the way they did through their own, inability to attack and maintain possession themselves get any field position.
I've thought a lot about this since watching the game and it, see if you get what I'm putting down here. It's almost like they play a selfish style of football from the point of view that, and it's not selfish within their own team. However, most of the other successful teams out there, and Penrith included, they understand that they have an opponent out there on the field, and they're like, okay, so there are two of us here, and we're going to dance, and we're going to go back and forward and back and forward and back and forward and back and forward. And it's our job to win all of those little individual set battles.
Yep.
And if we do that enough times over the course of 80 minutes, then we are a good chance at winning this game. The Sharks, I just feel at the moment, are just going, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, we've got the ball. Let's fucking go. And there's no regard for, well, hang on, there's an opposition here, and we need to put effort into these areas here because we have to build against these guys, and we have to break them with ongoing possession.
There's no resilience in the.
Well, there's no thought that, hang on, we might need to put some fucking groundwork in.
Yeah.
To reap the rewards of that later in the game. You know, there's just.
I wonder if Fred. I mean, like, remember after Origin and we're talking about Nico and what he said. In regards to the three fucking minutes or whatever that he played, and missing the tackle, on Munster, and sort of taking it on himself, and we're like, wow, that's really responsible, not necessary for you to take the shoulder that blame, but what a mark of responsibility, etc. That you did. Freddie's fucking broken him, eh?
Yeah,
I think
maybe, hey,
because he's not nearly the player he was last year.
Has he fucking... I don't know if it's has he Cody Walker him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fucking hell.
I don't know. He's put a massive crisis into him, though. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, now they're also without Kennedy, who has been one of their, you know, reliable and, you know, sort of boom performers over the last two seasons.
Yeah, probably their best this year.
I mean, I don't know who they put back there.
Moylan.
Or do you put Moylan back in the halves and then Hines goes back there because he killed it for Storm?
Look, they've got options. I don't know that it's going to save this season.
It's not going to save the season. But I think he's exactly where he needs to be. Like, just think of him at the beginning of this year.
Like, yeah. Well, he was, you know, he's out for the first like 5 weeks or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then he came back and was an absolute world beater.
Yeah. Briefly.
So, yeah.
Very briefly.
But this is a challenge for fucking old Egghead. Like, this is where, well, hang on, you've got a legitimate superstar.
Yep.
Who's got the fucking yips. How do you drag him out of it?
Mm.
You know?
Gee, they've turned. Fan base has turned.
Is this something Bellamy ever had to face? Like, did any of his superstars, well, you know, he had fucking nine superstars at once every time he had a team, but... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, if your team never is that good because there's that much talent in there because you're that far over the cap secretly, I don't know that you end up in a slump long enough to have to pull your superstar back into line.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Sharks in the bin. Better luck next year. It's over for you motherfuckers. Sorry.
Before we move on.
I say, go ahead. Yep.
Tyrone Peachy fucking passed the ball.
Yeah, apparently that was a big moment in Panthers history.
It was fucking huge. They've re-signed him purely based on one pass.
Right. So, we move on to the Doggies 23 defeating the Dolphins 22 up in Bundaberg. The Doggies 23 came through tries to kick out Burns, Avarillo, and Wilson. Birdo 3 from 4 conversions and a field goal. Dolphins a double to Anthony Milford, Asako, and Val Meninga with the other tries. Asako 2 of 4 conversions and a penalty goal. Ultimately, difference in the game with the chance to kick the side to a win with a wide-ish but not, you know, not touchline conversion attempt.
Entertaining game, I thought. End to end, plenty of points. The early field goal, as you say, has proved crucial. I feel like the Dolphins are back to, you know, they had, you know, talk about the yips. The Dolphins certainly had the yips and collapsed there a couple of times. The Manly game in particular was one where it looked like the wheels had fallen off their season. But, you know, the goal line defence might indicate some of the shine is coming off what I believe overall has been a pretty successful inaugural season. But they're back to competing for 80 minutes. And, you know, I think that's important for them to finish the year. And, yeah, there was a lot of talk that, you know, they were going to struggle to win too many games. And, you know, it's disappointing to see them lose to a team like the Dogs, but overall, I think the Dolphins have been, you know, you'd paint it as a success story for sure.
Yep, yep. Anything to say about that one, Stepdad?
No, look, Glenny's covered it off. The Dolphins are much improved, and still, I think this as a first season, they would be riding as a success. It did sort of shock me, I guess, when they didn't seem to have a lot set up. And this shocked me in a Wayne Bennett coach side to play to their strengths, as in when it was very close and another try would have sealed it for them. You know, they weren't setting plays up to get hammer in the clear. You know, they weren't loading one side with their big mobile forwards to really try and compress that defensive line. But you know, who knows why that is? But the Dogs did enough, and dealt with it. Like, I know Big Val Meninga's a cult favourite, but fuck, he's a liability.
Look, I'm looking forward to him next year with actually a preseason behind him. But at the same time, they're going to have bring in Herbie Farmworth and Jake Avrillo as well. So I think that'll probably cover him off in the centres anyway.
Yeah.
And so then I don't know what that means for him. I mean, he's probably out of the 17 entirely because I don't see a secondary position for him. He's certainly too slow to be on the wing, that's for sure. And that was one of the things.
I hate on slow wingers.
All right. Hey, fucking... Match race, you and Valance. Oh, I'm back in the Big Diesel.
Jesus Christ, what?
Fucking okay. Valance Val Tafare makes the Big Diesel look like fucking Shinkansen.
Oh. That's a big call, my friend. I appreciate the rap.
I'm fucking telling it how it is. The other thing as well, Sean O'Sullivan
had a fucking... Did
you tell Glenny
that you actually know him and that you are setting up a race?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say that off air until we actually had it nailed down, but yeah,
okay,
it's gonna be a curtain raiser to the A grade touch final.
Oh god,
after the C grade, so you're gonna have a game behind you, Glenny.
Fuck me dead.
But it's the closing act to my 30 for 30. but the other thing is, yeah, like O'Sullivan had a fucking shocker as well. Like
he wasn't
and
great.
That was probably what put him in the shit to the point where they were behind. And I think it was probably maybe the deciding factor of the game. I mean, they finished super strong. He got hooked at one point and then came back probably 10, 15 later. And Milford, when he came on and was given the keys to the operation, he was fucking actually great. I mean, and he almost jagged the win for him. But yeah,
true. Oh, look, that try he scored wasn't anything he did rather than just backing up. Like that was he didn't create anything, but
no, but I mean he created the one before it though.
Yeah,
I think. True. Yeah. It would have been nice if he could have got it around close to the sticks and gave Osaka a bit of a chance to win it for him. But look, that was one of the, it wasn't a disrespectful field goal. It was just a what the fuck are you doing field goal. But ultimately, it turned out to be the difference. So, he's genius in the end.
Take him when you can get him. That's it.
Yep. And another weird scoreline with the Titans 22, defeating the Cowboys 13 at Hope Solo Coliseum. And, of course, Hope Solo Coliseum, very timely, given we've got the Ladies World Cup soccer as well happening right at our doorstep.
Does she still play? Or?
No, long ago. She's probably in jail or fucking got... doing porn by now, surely. Like, she's doing porn then, but then, I mean, like, where do you go when you're doing porn while you're playing soccer, while you're in the national team? and domestic violencing on your fucking, on your nephew or some shit. Remember, she was doing that shit as well?
She could probably get a role as an understudy for one of the most famous, American things, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, look, I mean... I honestly haven't been following Hope over recent years, but I still maintain that I could fix her. Now, Titans
with some super glue.
I was gonna say like a fucking needle and thread, but yeah, same. some fucking Russian dressing and sauerkraut and a couple of slices.
Jesus Christ.
The Titans' 22 points came from tries to Brimson, Sammy, Canwell, and Khan Pereira. Three or four conversions to Tanner Boyd. The Cowboys' 13 tries to Valame and Cohen Hess. Two conversions to Valentine Holmes and a field goal to Chad. 22-13, Glenny.
Solid performance from the Titans to get the win over. The Cowboys have been surging recently and been in great form. The Titans really, they look to some of their bigger names like Fifita and Foran and Campbell, Brimson. They all had big moments in the game, but
it seems like the Cowboys are surging to start this game as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just looking like business as usual, and then they just stopped.
Yeah, dead. Exactly. Khan Pereira has been a massive highlight for me for the Titans. Just his acceleration is fucking impressive. Yep. And especially when you've got, you know, you've got potentially Brimson or even Campbell sweeping around the back and, you know, hitting him with cutout balls into space, or, you know, he can run off Fifita, he can run off Foran. Like, there's a lot of options to get him early ball with space and time, and it's a strike weapon for the Titans, how they utilise him. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, with this season under his belt, and another, you know, big off season. He's really impressed me this year, but the Cowboys, I think they'll rue this one as a bit of a speed bump on what they were building. Titans were just too good in the end.
Yeah, I mean, and the Cowboys are a side that left their run very late, and losses like this are the sort of things that, you know, could see them miss the eight if they dropped too many more games. I mean, they were looking like they were charging towards, like, a, you know, top six, or, you know, maybe even trying to sneak in the bottom of the four.
Yeah.
But now, you know, they're on the watch list as well, with about half a dozen teams that are all vying for those bottom two spots.
Man, and the results that we've had have only compressed the ladder further.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Manly and Newcastle have both started to charge now. They put the season only 1 point out of the eight.
And there are games where a win or a loss could mean the difference between 6th and 10th.
Yeah.
Coming through. It's fucking hectic end of the season. I am so fucking here for the rest of these rounds.
It's great to have, like, a, you know, by and large, like, you know, consequential games to end the season.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Particularly, like, from, you know, sort of between, like, 4th and probably 11th.
Yeah.
You know, switching around, you know, from fucking game to game, like live ladder to live ladder.
Yeah.
Not just, like, you know, the end of rounds. But we'll talk more about that on Wednesday, where I'm sure that you'll get a ladder predictor ready to roll. Well, and
I've been pre-predicting all week.
You don't want to fucking shoot your predictions too early, though. I mean, you're saving for Wednesday.
I don't know. There's always another prediction following.
You don't want to prematurely prediculate, or whatever the fucking scientific term of it is. So now we've got to move on to your. I did have them open, but when you got on the call, I shut them down. So you got to get your little socials together.
Oh, the socials roundup.
The roundup, the hot button topics for the week.
Let's fucking go. Oh, there we are. Oh, it's a very special birthday too. I'll put that in the Facebook group. He's a Parramatta supporter, but we still love him.
Whose birthday today?
Papa Shanta.
Oh, of course. Shanta Senior.
There you go.
Happy birthday, sir.
Chris, he said the Tigers NRLW team started the season undefeated. Means they can only decline from here. Which started a funny old discourse with David, who said, I like to think of it this way. The Tigers ladies are first. The Tigers men are 17th. That means the average position of the club is 9th.
It just, everything works. It just works on so many levels.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Graham, Peachy passing to his winger. It's the most notable thing to happen this round. Shane, just when you think you have it sorted, the Cowboys go from flying high to playing like the busted ass. Top eight far from sorted. Penrith getting in the mood at the right time of the year. Broncos look to be the only ones who can challenge. Storm are cheating cuts. There you go. Cody, he asked, can anyone shed light on how you can be over the line, have the ball grounded, and the try still disallowed? There you go. See. So unfortunately, there wasn't.
Use your eyes, not your ears.
They're on the ground.
I know for a fact that you are not visually impaired, Cody. So don't listen to Casey. Use your own fucking eyes.
Matthew said the Bulldogs put on their strongest team so far this year. Still a long way off, but a win is a win. Kick out strong, despite almost losing it. Dogs showed better cohesion. Josh said, with Paddy Carrigan getting his try, who's the next for the media to latch on to?
Thomas McCailey is the next one, technically speaking. I think he's around 67 games without a try. However, he did have, between his stint now and his a previous club. I think he had a stint of about one season or a partial season in the ESL where he got a couple of tries. But in terms of the NRL, he's the guy with the most number of games without a try.
Yeah,
currently, there we go. Currently going.
Ben, he said, forget too many Panthers for the Blues. This team would absolutely dominate any Queensland side of any era. Change my mind. Well, I don't believe that anyone could change your mind, sir, so I'm not going to try because it's not possible. You are absolutely right. This current Panther squad would beat any Queensland Origin team by at least 30 points.
On the evidence of Panthers players doing so well at State of Origin
exactly.
level.
Yeah, when they don't have other Panthers players around, they got to deal with fucking shit cunt Manly biscuits. Thomas, yeah, sure, South broke our losing streak, but it was only the Tigers. We didn't exactly play well. Does that game change a single one of your opinions that Souths are showing a bit of a decline since they spanked the Panthers? Lenny?
I'm going to tell you right now, Souths could finish as high as fourth still.
Yeah.
Obviously, it has been a decline since... I mean, like that Panthers game was like fucking round six or something. So, I mean, obviously, that was a long time ago. But I think that they will build back up at the right end of the season, especially now they've got Latrell back if he stays healthy.
Yeah. Ross, you said, am I the only one that feels the Bulldogs recruitment drive doesn't pass the sniff test? So then he's listed, so they've got Pangai, mm-hmm. Burton, Adokar, Marnie Kickow, Crichton, Sexton, Cherry, Bronson Cherry, Liam mm-hmm. Knight, Salmon, and Taff.
Yeah, so like those last four or five there are probably on nothing.
Well, Pangai wouldn't be on heaps.
No, he definitely would be.
Oh, did they pay overs for him?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I was going to say they paid for Burton, they'd pay for Adokar, they paid for Marnie and Kickout.
Yep, they paid.
they paid for Crichton.
Then who was that? Who was after that?
Sexton.
Yeah, they paid nothing for him. I reckon
Bronson Cherry. They paid nothing. If they paid anything more than nothing for him, they're fucking stupid.
What the fuck is the hype on that dude? I remember he was fast. When he came in, he was fast. But then he hasn't played for years. Yeah, he was out for hitting the vitamin S.
If one of your kids came to you and said, Daddy, yeah. I'm fucking fast. And you went outside.
Yeah.
And he's riding a fucking push bike down the driveway. Do you think he's running?
Yeah.
You know? Fuck me. Plus, the guy's fucking, like, steroid-level yoked now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I just don't understand any fanfare whatsoever around that sign.
No, that's it.
Like, I like to, you know, like, I'm happy to see the guy make a comeback, but I don't think he's like, it's like fucking Greg Inglis or something that they're putting in their, you know, in their back line.
That's it.
It's certainly not getting any money.
Scott has brought up a potential news story. He said, did you guys see the Knights could sack AOB for Justin Holbrook?
Yeah, apparently that's the beta. It's already been kind of dispelled, I think.
There we go. Also,
maybe you've got it in for old AOB.
Yeah, I don't fucking like him, hey.
No. And the thing is, the Knights hierarchies as well, they've had a procession of coaches that they've interviewed most recently, apart from Holbrook, which I don't know what the capacity of that discussion was, if it even happened, but they did try and get Dez before he signed for Titans. So.
There you go. You said, I want to know your thoughts on the Gold Coast next season, Dez at the Gold Coast next season. We are defensively and mentally soft, but will Dez bring a siege mentality and extract the best out of this team like he did when he took over Barrett's roster at Manly? So I guess what he's asking is, Dez took a close to spoon roster and turned. Did they make the finals the first year Dez was back?
Yeah, they made it to the second or third week of the finals. The year before that with Trent as well. So,
yeah, okay.
I don't think they were as bad. The roster wasn't as bad as it was when he got it. But I mean, like Desi, this is not just a 2019 to 2020 thing, or what 18 to 19 or whatever it was. This is also just Desi in general when he took the Dogs, which is probably more impressively when he took the Dogs to those two grand finals, where they really they brought in James Graham, but yeah, you know, the halves were fucking Reynolds. The halves in one of them was Hodgkinson and fucking Chris Keating. Like that to a grand final, I mean,
yeah,
like that's fucking like remarkable.
Ben, he said, "How much do I have to pay per month on Patreon for Jay to go to ladder predictor lessons?"
Is there any more to that? I want more information, please.
There's not set off
a fucking flurry.
I need to get to a follow up question. What specifically can you list your? Can you outline your gripes with the ladder predicting skills?
I'm 100% sure that that's just a fucking typo, and he's actually asking, "I'll pay anything I need to on Patreon for Jay to give me ladder predicting lessons."
Right.
So for that, I'll say it's the low fuck. What's the lowest tier?
Oh, like a couple bucks.
Like yeah, couple of bucks a month.
Yeah.
For less than the price of a cup of coffee.
especially in this economy.
And I'll teach you the fucking ancient skill of looking at a matchup and in 3 seconds going with your gut on who you think will win.
And then clicking next.
Didn't clicking fucking a next. Now, the socials over on X or fucking Twitter because fuck Elon.
It is ugly with that fucking X. It crossed over this morning for me. The actual, now I look at it, the actual app icon is smaller too, I think. Unless it's just a visual.
I think it's got a black border.
Yeah, it's just maybe it's just optical illusion or something, just because how shittily it's designed.
Dean K, 88 from Twitter, says, which stipulation would you all like to add to a meaningless end of season game to spice it up? Unlimited interchange, blowing up the bunker and having in-goal touchy so boomers can complain when they get it wrong, 5 metre offside like what Souths get anyway. What would you, Glennie, you've got, let's say, the Tigers game at the end of the season, doesn't matter, right? You've already won, you've got the spoon tied up. What would you change to try out a new rule?
Try's worth 10 points.
That's not realistically one that they're thinking of bringing in. Remember when they were doing the test ones, they were doing the ones about the referee, like, you know, awards a try straight away and the guy's setting up and they're reviewing it the whole time, like what they're doing now, and then they confirm the try. That one actually come through and, you know, became a thing. I think they were rolling that one out when the Broncos were playing the Cowboys at the end of that season where the Broncos got the spoon.
Yep.
What other ones were they testing out and did they come in? I can't remember.
Me either.
That far back. Yeah, but... there hasn't even been any real changes sort of mooted though, right? Let me think. See, Dean's asking the question. I mean, he's coming from the standpoint of, like, you know, chaotic, you know, entertaining, what are you going to do sort of thing.
You know, there's a bunch of fun shit you can do. Like, you know, instead of golden point, you have
dropping players.
Yeah, you have 5 minute periods, and you have as many of those as you need to get a winner.
Yeah,
and every period, each team has to take 2 players off the field.
Yeah, I would couple that rule with no field goals.
Yeah, 100%.
You've got to be a try to win it.
Yeah, it's golden try.
Yeah.
You can if you're well enough and you want to try and get possession back and you can kick a field goal, great. You'll get possession back, but I think the other one I would really like for the bunker to be following play, and just correcting things, just like a fucking touchy does. Like there were so many situations on the weekend where the refs called something and then got a tip off from the touchy, and they change it, and the players blow up and they go, no, I had a tip off, that's what happened.
Well, that was like the shit with De Bellin. I mean, it was like, you know, a couple of tackles later,
yeah.
When they punish him for it. And remember, they were doing that. They were doing that religiously last year.
Yeah.
Where they'd going back to shit that happened 3 sets ago and they're going, oh, that guy's done a thing and, you know, penalty.
Yep. So you can't think of any rule changes you'd like, Glenn?
Not off the top of my head, to be quite honest.
There you go. The game's perfect.
Tigers can't get the spoon. Tigers are banned from getting the spoon.
Lambretta, GP1971, said round one of the Elastoplast League saw some genuine upsets, mainly News Limited journos. There were on-field upsets too. The Knights have announced their arrival as a genuine threat of replacing the Sharks as the team to be knocked out in the first week of the finals. There you go. What's doing with the... at Mac Mindley said, what's doing with the Knights? Why would they be destabilising a real chance of finals for a sideways move for Holbrook? Yeah, shocking leaks from everyone. Yeah, you're right. That's been...
Well, I mean, it's been, you know, like the various parties involved and said no, you know, it's, you know, but you know, the truth, who knows?
That's it. And Toto,
the players certainly seem to be playing for him at the moment. So whoever the commenter was is correct in saying, yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
Now that they seem to be clicking, and actually, like the effort they're putting in, and like the desire they're showing. I mean, that sort of stuff doesn't happen when you've got a coach that you don't.
Correct.
That you don't want. Yeah.
And Toto, he said, the top four are starting to break away from the pack. Can we really see anyone outside that winning this year? Maybe Souths if they click.
I don't think that the top four are going to break away that much either. I think there's going to be some movement around sort of 4, 5, 6, just like there is around, you know, sort of 7, 8, 9.
Yep.
10, 11.
Yeah, so. That's it. Well, so where do we sit at the moment? So you got the Broncos ahead of Penrith, into the Warriors, into the Storm. Yeah, that's it. And South's a fifth, you know, and they're not playing great footy. Then you got the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Sharks. I can't see the Sharks staying in there.
No, Sharks are gone.
Because they're only in there on four and against. But then you look at them under them, and you've got the Eels and the Knights. You know, but both of them, like the Eels are in terrible form. The Knights are on a run.
Knights are on a competition point below, though, too.
They had the draw. So,
which is the same as Manly as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's it. Unfortunately, four and against is pretty rough.
Yeah, I don't think I don't. Yeah, but I mean, the only team Manly's competing against is Newcastle.
Is the Knights?
So,
that's it.
I mean, so like both of them have to win the same amount of games to play off for a position, which is unlikely, I think.
If you win the same amount of games, they just go through on four and against.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, both of us have to win the same amount of games for that to be a thing.
True. Oh, so, lovely. There we go. Socials roundup for the week.
All right.
Those are good questions. I'm sorry Glennie didn't give you any fucking feedback.
You're right, Glennie?
I'm fucked. It's time pull the pin.
Do I need to fucking reanimate the corpse of Dr. Fred Hollows to fix your eyes for you?
I'm just tired. My eyes are burning.
All right, mate.
And really, I'll be honest
with
you. Drink
some more water.
I appreciate the questions coming in, but honestly, I just want the fucking season to be over. And if there's a rule change to say that the Tigers season could end right fucking now, then I'd put that rule in.
Yeah. But we need to keep Brooksy getting his reps and showing out like he is. You know, he's going to a new club.
Did you see that? They replayed the last couple of minutes today of that final from, was it 2010, with the Tigers versus Souths.
Yeah, the one where it was like 30-all or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you remember that one, Glennie?
Final.
I don't know if it was a final or if it was just a game. It was about 30-all, and Rabbits had like one. It's like there was time, they had like 19 seconds left on the clock or something like that.
Finals game.
No.
And Wesser made the break?
I don't think we played Souths in the finals.
No, Reece Wesser made a big break
a field goal? Who kicked a field goal?
No, they scored a try. It was a try in the corner, this one was. In the right corner to win it. After a break from Reece Wesser.
Reece Wesser. What a fucking player he was.
Yeah, fucking oath.
He was too old for this shit, but he still got him home in that game.
Exactly.
His kid does good rap music.
5:28.
In the bag.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll be back again on Wednesday with the previews.
Nice one.
See ya.
Outie.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.